Sacramento.
Glory, glory, Sacramento.
Roro with the goal.
Roro's going to take a shot. Oh, my. Do you believe it?
Cameron Nwassa charging forward, looking for a team to strike on distance. And it rattles in. Cameron Nwassa to Sacramento.
That it was less about if and more about when Sacramento was going to join Major League Soccer. Well, folks, when is today? Your when has arrived.
Hello, Sacramento, and welcome to the Rise of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Blake Marquez, joined as always by Richard Ivanowski, and we are back. USL season has resumed. How are you feeling about it, Rich?
We're back, baby. This is me reaching through the screen to hug you, buddy. We're not in the same room, but... Yeah, man, it's nice. It's nice to see Sacramento Republic Soccer again. Unbelievable that we only got one game to start the year, but we're back, and I'm really excited. I'm really excited. It was weird to see no fans in the stands, but it's still soccer. What was your feeling just on the vibe?
It was fine. I mean, it was definitely quiet. It was weird to just see, you know, tarps over seats and stuff like that. But I know the what did they call them in the broadcast? The Levy Brigade, the Levy. There's a handful of supporters sitting on the levy. So shout out to them. I could hear the drum banging every once in a while. It was cool to see that people still found a way to go out there and watch the game live. I know they showed a tweet that someone was like, it's weird to watch a home game on my couch. Like, I've never done this before. So, but yeah, it was a good broadcast, I thought.
Yeah, it was a good broadcast and an enjoyable-ish match. Obviously not the ultimate result that the Republic were looking for. It was a 3-3 draw against Tacoma Defiance, but we will break it all down. Sort of minute by minute here, go through it. Let's start with the formations we saw, because we saw something here that we don't normally see from Sacramento Republic. It was a 3-5-2 that they put forward. What was your impression of that?
I love it. Me and a buddy that I was watching with, we both kind of played in three-man back systems, and it's a good system if you can get your organization right and get your, you know, those wingers in that midfield five are very, very key to that, as well as having strong central defenders. And I think in that manner, in that sense, we looked really, really good. I want to see this moving forward a little more. Not sure if it was brought on because of some injuries that we're dealing with right now, but I thought it looked great, and I really loved the way the system was working out.
Yeah, that's my understanding, is that Barahona, he is out for the season, unfortunately, after knee surgery. And he's, you know, I would say the best option as a wing back. So my understanding is that's kind of what forced the hand into a 3-5-2. But I saw some speculation that Ashapalan might play a wing back position, and I think we saw some quality from him that could show that as a possibility going forward. But yeah, let's break down the lineup a little more in depth. I'll read off exactly how it was set up. Grinwis in goal, Mahoney, Hilliard Arce, and Sargis as your three defenders. On the wings, you got McCrary and Apollon. In the middle, Wheeler Aminu, Skundrich, and Roro. And finally up front, Cameron Nwassa and Darius Formella. Anything jump out there you want to point out?
So in the first game, four months ago, we didn't really see much of Roro until towards the end of the game. He came on as a sub. There's been a lot of speculation on where he's going to fit in. Is he going to play that number 10? Is he going to play number 8? Where is he going to be at? And he did seem to to lay back in that number eight position in front of the defense and distribute balls. And it was awesome. He was doing great. That was something I was really excited to see. I think in the trajectory of a lot of players, they may start off as a strong attacker and then slowly drop down into a creative midfielder like a number 10. And then as they get older, they kind of go back into a number eight role. And it's looking great for him. It fits him great. We saw him distribute some amazing balls, especially in that first 30 minutes.
Yeah, and there was certainly some more holding midfielders and more attacking. And it even though it's a 3-5-2, you could at various times called it like a 3-2-3-2 or a 3-4-1-2, depending on the look. I know when Bijev came on, he was playing really high up. But yeah, another interesting point about the lineup is that there wasn't a lot of similarities to the first game lineup. Obviously, Barahona is out, but you know, pretty much half the team turned over. Hilliard Arce got his first start, along with McCrary, Roro, Apollon, and Formella as well in the front. I thought it was an interesting choice, and like to contrast it with Tacoma's formation, which is a 4-2-3-1, it was one pretty aggressive formation versus one that was a lot stronger in a counter. And I think that kind of showed early on in terms of how the play actually looked.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of counters, I was getting scared every time we got a corner kick. It was, I mean, they're great scoring opportunities, and boy, we got a lot of people in the box. But once you start putting two Tacoma players up top for those counters, it was looking a little dangerous. I know Apollino got an amazing step in one of the breakaways. He did really good stepping to the ball. And yeah, it was a battle of pressing versus counterattacking. And that's what we saw.
Yeah, definitely. And it was like that from the get-go. The press was definitely on from the jump, and I think it got crazy. It got frenzied. But the first thing we have to talk about in this game, because it happened in the first minute, was the Sac Republic conceding a goal. It was tough to see a goal go in literally the opening seconds of the game. Alec Diaz put it in near post, beat Grinwis near post. Thoughts on this goal?
Yeah, I mean, as far as aesthetically, it wasn't super pretty. Kind of what I would call Sunday league. I felt like Grinwis should have got that one. Near post rule, you know. Never let one go in on your near post, but it is what it is. Everyone's getting their feet underneath him, even goalkeepers. So I was glad to see things change a little bit as the game went on, and it looked like we were always going to be the stronger team just going into it, even on paper.
It did. So it was tough to kind of blow it right at the beginning. I'll reserve a little bit of judgment on Grinwis, but as the game went on, we'll get into how he looked, but just wasn't thrilled with the first minute for sure. And we'll talk about him more as the game goes on. There was a really high press here going on throughout the game. Tell me what you were seeing from Sac Republic, just really trying to get it in early.
So with presses, I'm not sure if you know this, but there's something called the press trigger, which is basically, it can be a number of things. A bad touch by the opponent. It can be maybe an opponent that isn't necessarily good on the ball, gets the ball, we press then. And a really common one is there'll be a designated press trigger. Like when Iwasa goes, we all go. But the key to that press is we all go. You can't have Iwasa just running around at a ball. He's going to get tired. It's not ever going to work. So I had kind of a trouble throughout the game figuring out what the press trigger was, but especially from like minute 15 to that, you know, a good 30 minute gap in that first half, it seemed like the press was just on at all times. What in Europe is known as like a gegenpress or a counter press, pressing the counter. So as soon as they get the ball, push, push, push. We're not waiting for any moment except when we lose the ball. Now we go. So it looked great. It's a really popular way of playing right now, and it's a really pretty way of playing. It's entertaining.
Excellent. Yeah, I don't know much about that. I'm glad that I'm going to be learning things every single game from you and from everyone in this Sac Republic community. But yeah, that press paid off pretty quickly. When Roro drew a penalty that I thought, so first of all, he made an interception and then, you know, dropped it off and got it right back. And that's how he drew the penalty in the box. A little bit floppy, I'll say, I thought. What's your impression of that?
Yeah, I mean, I had to watch it a couple of times to really get a good opinion on it. I watched it live one time last night and then came back home and watched it today by myself and really got to rewind and stuff like that. And I'm not gonna say floppy. I can definitely see what you're saying, but the guy came in late. Guy came in late. Ball was already distributed to where it needed to go, and then the tackle came in. Not allowed to do that. I'm a proponent. I get made fun of a lot, but I'm a proponent of, like, if you touch me when you're not allowed to touch me, why would I stay on my feet?
Yeah, no, that's completely understandable. I'm still coming from, I'm coming from a sport where flopping is considered, it's looked down upon. That's not soccer, obviously, especially for a seasoned veteran like Roro, who is, if you give him that slack, he's going to hang you with it, you know. And if you give him the opportunity to play up a penalty and get one, he's going to do it. And that's his job, and he did it well there. I do think, like, yeah, I mean, he came in late. I think Roro could have avoided him, but he, you know, why would you?
Yeah, that's one thing I want to ask. So with me, when I hear the word flop, I think no contact going down. I think what a lot of American sports fans think is you didn't need to go down, right? But that's, we're in the box.
Yeah, that's right.
Your job is to not foul me. My job is to score goals.
Yeah, no, he certainly didn't in that sense of just like inventing something. That's not what happened. But I think at least like flopping in the NBA in particular is like you feel the contact and you exaggerate the contact. And so that's what he did. But that's, again, that's what you should do.
Especially in the box.
So yeah, I mean, it. He made the defender pay for his mistake there, and Formella really made them pay as he came in and blasted it home to tie the game 1-1. What did you think about Formella taking that penalty there?
It was good. No complaints. It was nice. Just, you know, placement, just enough power. And overall, goalkeeper went the wrong way. So I'm not angry at it at all.
Yeah, well done. Any curiosity as to why Formella took the penalty as compared to, you know, other options like Roro or Iwasa?
You know, I have no idea. That kind of selection is beyond me. I don't know what goes through what's a part of the selection process, if it's who's looking good in training, who, you know, I've seen players take the ball out of other players' hands and say, no, I'm taking this one, you know, so I don't know what the process was. And overall, I'm not bothered by it at all. I think it looked good. As long as it doesn't mess with team chemistry or anything like that, it's all good.
Yeah. And he put it home. So obviously no complaints for us there. And as the game kept going here, the press kept going, kept getting more and more insane. I think by the, like, there was a stretch in the 15th to 20th minute that just the ball was just so high up in Tacoma's area there. And I thought Roro had a crazy run of form. In this run, he had a couple really nice balls outside to the wings. He even ended up taking this like crazy long shot from like 35, 40 yards out, which is like, yeah, it didn't go in. It sailed a little high and wide, but you love to see it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Like, that's what I'm saying about this first half performance by him is like, just, I mean, amazing distribution. There's nothing prettier than seeing a ball about halfway into your own half just getting launched aerially onto a wing and then just being brought down with either a nice chest or even killing it dead with your feet. It's some of the most pretty soccer you can see. And he was just making great passing, even on the ground with some of his through balls. It was a great performance by him in the first half.
Yeah, it seemed like when Tacoma was expecting him to keep it on the ground, he would put it over their head. It seemed like when they're expecting him to put it over their head, he would play it on the ground. He was, you know, it's just really advanced stuff. Like, his feel for the game is just incredible. And I think he probably, you know, in the first 20, 25 minutes, he probably had, you know, the five nicest touches for the Republic. I was just really impressed again and again. And then here, around the 20th, 21st minute, Apollon had a couple really crucial tackles out on that wing, way back on that wing. I believe it was the left back side. He just seemed to just get his foot out right in time. One was on a real breakaway. It looked like a 2-on-1, and he just broke it up. And then, like, less than a minute later, he broke up another little run, and he was doing a great job ranging back. What did you think of Apollon, especially on the defensive side of the ball?
Defensively, you know, I went into this thinking he was more of a defensive player, and I kind of changed my mind. But that being said, I think defensively he did good. He those steps were awesome to dispossess some of the Tacoma players. Had a little bit of a mess up off the second breakaway from the corner. Two times he got kind of touched past, but it showed his hustle to be able to get in there and try to challenge a second time. And overall, I mean, that's one of the most impressive things that ended up getting him signed to the Republic is his work ethic. And I think it showed here. That dude was up and down that left side like nobody's business. It was awesome.
Yeah. And just a reminder that this guy did truly come out of nowhere. He was not on anyone's radar, really. I think he just he walked on at a tryout. Obviously, he's played all around before. Was born in Boston, but was not a guy that was expected to be on this team. Showed up, made it happen, and got a start, you know, in the second game of the season, and also came on as a sub in the first game of the season. So, yeah, I mean, he seems to be very much a part of the first team and looking really good. Moving a little bit along here, not that much later, the 23rd minute, Iwasa earned a corner. He got a ball in and used his strength to stay in position, and eventually it went out off the defender onto the baseline and onto the goal line, and we got a corner kick from Roro. And again, just so excited to see Roro take corners. Like, his deliveries were incredible all game.
Yeah, I mean, do we spoil the end? I mean, it ends up being a goal.
Oh yeah. This is all you, man. What did you see on this one?
Just great delivery. Kind of, you know, near post always sketches me out with corner kicks for some reason. I'm not a huge fan of it, but goalkeeper comes out and just makes a nightmare of it. Really should have probably stayed on his line, but he chose to came out. And in that matter, like, you heard the commentator say, like, you either got to clear the ball out or clear the player out. And I mean, obviously go for the ball, but he got punished for it. We punish bad goalkeeping here in Sacramento.
Yeah, he got caught in between for sure. Like, it looked like he was going to stay on his line, and then at the last second tried to clear it out, and it was far too late to make that decision and just couldn't stop Tomas Hilliard Arce there, who headed it home. Nice downward header on that. What do you think about the finish?
It was great. I mean, he was, the run was good. He was left like unmarked, just no one on him. So that's what you need. That's what you need. And that may be the reason why dude from Tacoma came out of his line, saw no one picked him up, figured he would, and just didn't happen properly. So at that point, what was it? 2-1, ready to go score some more.
Yeah, that was a big moment in the game. For sure. He came, his run came from outside of the box too. It was just, yeah, really, really nice job there. As the first half went on, Roro had another shot that was just off goal, a bouncing low strike just beyond the far left post there. And then in the 37th minute, we got another goal. This time it was Skundrich who really played a really nice ball way up to McCrary, who corralled it well, brought it in, laid it off to Formella, who smashed it home with the left foot.
So this is the power of that formation. There seems to be players everywhere off camera. Like, some of the breakaways, I'm like, oh, there's no one, there's going to be no one there. And the camera keeps panning down. And, oh, there's another guy. Oh, there's another guy. Okay. That's why I love this formation, because it seems to cover a lot of the pitch. And when Skundrich sent that ball up, that was by McCary, that touch, just amazing, like a fine wine. And to be able to bring it back into Formella's path and the finish – that entire exchange was textbook and beautiful. That was top level by everyone involved.
Yeah, that was the prettiest. I think that was the prettiest sequence of the night. We're both sitting here in the Zoom window doing the chef's kiss. That was a delicious goal there. Delicious build up. Skundrich, by the way, wore the captain's band in this one. I believe it was his first time doing so, or at least was a change up there. But yeah, Skundrich, if you'll remember, had the only goal in the first game of the season, played well again tonight. I'm excited about his role in this team going forward. What about you?
Yeah, me as well. There was a really good article put out by the Sacramento Republic kind of talking about him and Briggs's relationship. And it seems to be this guy seems to be Briggs's golden boy, like gonna really focus on making him a key part of this team. And clearly that stuff, you know, two games played, clearly there's something going on in practices that is making Briggs really have a lot of faith in this guy. And, you know, I will say, in my opinion, a little bit of a step down from his performance 4 months ago. Everyone's getting their legs underneath them still, so we'll give him a couple games pass here. But I would have liked to see him a little more command the field a little more. But overall, that was a great sequence he was a part of, and he did his job throughout the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, as we're going into halftime here, I don't have a lot to say about Tacoma, honestly. Outside of that first minute goal, they didn't really get anything going. You know, their total for the half, one goal, one shot, and that was it. As far as possession, it was pretty evenly split, but the ball was just up in Tacoma's side of the pitch for the majority of it. Any other comments on Tacoma, what you saw from them in the first half?
You know, I did think they dealt with the pressure relatively well. There was a couple exchanges where I was looking and I'm like, wow, our press is really on, but they're still just passing through it. And I mean, part of that idea is they're going to make a bad one eventually and we're going to be there to get it. But they were passing very well overall. I thought passing from both teams were good. In fact, my buddy made a comment about it being much better from the MLS's back opener. So, which was a terrible game that we won't get into, But yeah, I thought Tacoma did well to try to cope with that press that was really on in the first half.
Yeah, and the total numbers for the Republic in the first half, 3 goals on 9 shots, 6 of which were on target, a slight advantage in possession. Yeah, I mean, a good first half, a great first half. Borderline great first half.
Yeah.
All right, getting into the second half here. Yeah, man, it just started to fall apart. I'm going to be a lot less enthusiastic about this half for the Republic. In the 50th minute, Grinwis almost handed Tacoma a goal just in a difficult moment where he was slow to get the ball off of his feet, played a poor pass to clear it out. And it almost became 3-2 pretty quickly. Grinwis was not that strong. And then the fact that he only has 3 defenders in front of him, I don't know. I was beginning to get pretty nervous here. Wheeler Aminu at one point here made a tackle in the box that I think could have easily been a penalty. Did you see that one?
There was a lot of tough calls. I wasn't happy with the ref all the way. Like, it just seemed to be inconsistent, which I think is a comment I made about the last game as well. There's not favoring one side or anything, but it's stuff where it's like, if that was a PK for us, how is that not one for them? And it was a tough referee game for sure. And as far as Grinwis goes, there's arguments on Twitter for him not to start the next game. I say give him one more. Really put the pressure on him though. Let him know, like, this is going to be one of your last chances for a while, unless we start seeing some changes. But yeah, it was a tough second half for him for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. I don't know what the quality is like of the goalkeepers behind Grinwis. So, that adds a little bit of difficulty to it. I think that tackle from Wheeler Aminu, he got all man there, no ball from what I could see in the replay. So I think lucky to get out of the 55th minute, up 3-1, by the 57th minute, Jesse Daly knocked one home. This one was a little bit tough. I think Apollon got played a little bit, a little bit sloppy on the wing, but not his fault. Grinwis made a save. It bounced out to the top of the box, and Jesse Daly knocked it home. Nothing you could really do about that one, I would say. I mean, I don't expect Grinwis to get across goal and stop that one. It was going top left corner, really well struck.
So I don't know Grinwis's height, but I kept thinking yesterday, I'm like, he looks short. He looks kind of not very tall for this level. You know, once you get to these higher pro levels, your goalkeeping ability kind of goes down, and you got to be 6'2". And I'm not sure how tall he is, but that's just a little comment there.
Is allegedly he's listed at 6'2".
Okay. And which is
to be fair, you can't really rely on measurements from professional sports teams. I can say that from the NBA, they're mostly made up. Maybe that's a little more accurate in the USL, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not mad at him for this goal. Really, I would have liked to see someone from that midfield once the ball comes out for the rebound. I would have liked to see our midfield step up. Daly looked like he came off from off camera and came and blasted that thing. And so it looked like Roro was just watching. So it would have been nice to see Roro as the veteran on the team, as kind of a leader, even though he's not captain, commanding, like, we need to go, let's press. We are the pressing team. Let's go do that. They wouldn't have closed down the space in time, but just seeing 3 dudes running at you might have taken you off your game a little bit, but it didn't. And that was the best finish of the night. An amazing strike.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely agree. I when you see that one go in, you're just like, you know, all credit to them, all credit to that player in particular. Couldn't have struck a better ball, really. So moving on here. 62nd minute, I was impressed by a cross from McCrary into Owassa. He ended up very near goal, but gave this odd little nod across the face of the goal. Really nothing. Like, Owassa really did nothing with this. And then he got the ball back another minute later. Really did nothing again. I will take this time to express my frustration with Cameron Owassa. I did not see much activity from him. I did not see a great body language from him. He felt invisible to me pretty much. I mean, and going back to the first match, like, it's hard to – we don't really need to connect those because they're 4 months apart, right? But so far this season, Owassa has done nothing.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was waiting for when we're going to bring it up. Yeah, he was quiet a lot of the game. And, you know, I was telling myself, like, keep an eye on him, see what his off-the-ball movement is like. And it was just tough because we were playing such pretty soccer that his off-the-ball movement didn't stick out to me. Because a lot of times, sometimes your top striker, which Owassa is, they have bad games. And it's your job as the striker to realize, hey, my first touch isn't there, or my shooting isn't there, or my passing isn't there. Now I need to be a decoy. So let me take this guy that's marking me and let me take him over here. And now people can come into that space that I made. And I didn't notice it. As far as the second one that we talked about, that was a tough chance. He had a guy on him the whole time. So I'm not mad at him that one. The header, that should have been a goal. I would have liked to know what he was thinking. It seemed like the commentators pointed out, it did seem like he was trying to bring it on to someone to run into it. But he was so close to the keeper. It was a bad decision. Because even if there was someone there, he was so close to the keeper. And I believe there was a defender right next to him as well. He should have snuck that one in near post, or at least tried.
Yeah, and there was no one there. I don't know what he was trying to do. There was no one there. If he was trying to bring it back, there's no one there to get it. I don't know. I'm not, like, angry at him, but especially on the second one, like you're saying, not upset with that one necessarily. It's just – it's an accumulation of touches and chances that just don't amount to anything.
Yeah, it was – exactly. So it's like if he had put a bunch of shots on target throughout the game, then I'm not going to be mad at that. But he just didn't. He hasn't been performing the way I would have liked to see. Hopefully that changes. Again, I'm a big fan of putting pressure on these guys from a competitive standpoint. Like, tell them Belmar's going to start next season or next game. Because I mean, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I thought Belmar looked good, but we'll get into that later. One more quick thing. I when it comes to there being no one there, I think a lot of the time these guys are he may have expected that these guys have been given instructions to run onto those balls, so that may have been what he was thinking. But overall, it was tough. I think put some pressure on Grinwis and put some pressure on Cameron for their starting spot, because we do have options there.
Yeah, and I'm still not gonna forgive him entirely, even if they're going to be pressing high and making runs in. If no one's there and you've got a real chance like that, which I think that may have been his best chance of the night, just to like tepidly roll it across the face of goal, was one of the more frustrating moments for me, especially in the second half when it felt like this lead was very tenuous. It felt like at any time, it would be made level 3-3. It honestly felt like, you know, the second half was just poor from the jump. And not to put any blame on Roro, but he wasn't his first half self in the second half, and that's understandable to a degree. 33 years old, coming off an injury And then, you know, gets back for one game, comes on as a sub, then gets another 4 months off. You know, very understandable. But if we had first half Roro in the second half, this is an entirely different game, I thought. So I think that's a good transition into him coming off the pitch. Here is the subs. I think in the 65th minute around there. Sorry, I don't have that noted down, but around the mid-60s here, they brought on Villarreal for Roro Lopez and brought on Bijev for AWO, as I call him, to make things easier on myself, but Andrew Willer-Amita.
I thought the sub – so can I speak on something with the central midfield before we get into the subs? I messaged you about it, and I heard the commentators talking about it, and I'm not sure if they were instructed in the second half or if it was part of the game plan going into the second half to kind of rotate AWO, Skundrich, and Roro. I don't know if they're supposed to rotate, but it seemed like Roro sometimes would go and get in front of those guys. Someone would go play a 10 as the other two drop down, when usually Roro was the one down there for most of the first half. They seemed to be rotating. I don't know if that was part of Briggs' plan, if he gave them a little more freedom, or if that was just the way the momentum of the game was going and they were just kind of feeling it out. You can't always stick hard line, this is where my spot is all the time. But I thought that didn't help at all with the way the momentum was changing, and seemed like people were kind of running on top of each other at points, or just not, you know, people were able to just get through our midfield, our central midfield, because of that. So, yeah, the subs, I thought Bijev in for Willer-Amita was a good sub. Put Bijev at a number 10, which he did, which I was surprised to see him come on as not a wide player. I thought we might opt to go a little more wide, maybe switch to a 4-3-3. But he looked good right there throughout the game. I thought it looked great. I have in my notes that I would have liked to see Roro stay a little longer. He's still putting good passes together. He was still blocking the midfield a little bit. But yeah, definitely a step down from first half, but I would have liked to see him stay maybe another 5-10 minutes.
I wonder if that's something that he's had communication with Briggs about, you know, if there's a certain level of body language that he's given off, if he's looking a little slow, if the deal is, you know, just bring me out early rather than too late, just because, you know, all those factors you mentioned of the age and the injury and the time off. I'm with you, but I could also see why there's a bit of a short leash there. What do you think about, like, just juxtaposing this with game one where Roro came on as a sub? Do you say you could only get 45 minutes or whatever, you know, around there of Roro, would you prefer it be a strong start, or him come in and try to provide a extra bit of effort to finish?
Whew, that's tough. That's a tough one. I, you know, if he's gonna come on and play the way he did in that first half, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't know. We obviously, we have a problem with letting leads go in the second half. So I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one. I would say probably keep him as a starter, just because he can go and really get you some really nice bat leads with his distribution in the beginning.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think I agree with you. If you can build a lead early, that's probably the time to attack. Keep him in there when your best attacking players are totally fresh. And then you got, you know, your best attacking side there all at the same time. And maybe, I mean, depending on if you've got a 3-1 lead, maybe sub him out for a more defensive player and go with the more defensive look. Would you be open to that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And kind of one of my thoughts is, and this is total bro science, this isn't an actual thing here, but if, do we want a Roro who's older, so let's say he's at 80% and goes down to like 65% plant coming on against defenders in the second half that are going to be around 80? Or do we want him just start the game? He's going to be fresh either way, you know? Like, how does he match up against that midfield once the game is played on? Because there is obviously going to be midfielders that are getting tired, and he might be some fresh legs, but are his fresh legs as fresh as Villarreal's?
That's interesting. I can see either side of it. You know, I mean, he could be a pretty incredible super sub if, you know, if you need a deciding goal and you're in the 75th minute and you can get 100% of Roro for 15 minutes, you know, that's, I mean, that would be special as well. But then of course there's a concern that, you know, you fall in a hole early. So maybe we'll save that more of a conversation on that for a later time.
That's a fun talk for sure.
Yeah. I would love to have a whole episode about discussing, you know, lineups and, you know, our favorite formations for this squad, who we would, you know, like you mentioned, Grinwis and Iwasa, maybe put some pressure on them. What would be an alternative look for you? But yeah, you know, Bijev, I thought, you know, the other sub here, you know, I'm a fan of Bijev. My goodness. I think I latched onto him in the first game. Probably my favorite player on this squad in terms of style, in terms of nasty little rat tails hanging on his shoulder. this guy's got almost more style than substance at times. Just a flashy guy. He can play wide, obviously. He made a bunch of really, really nice looking crosses in the first game back in March. And today he was playing central, but was moving around. He got over to the right hand side on a bit of a mismatch, bit of a breakaway, where he turned the corner on the defender and got a clean look at goal. Tried to bend it around the keeper into the left corner of the goal. Didn't quite get enough bend on it, but I thought that was going to be 4-2 and this game would be over.
Yeah, me too. I have in my notes here, fast. He put on the afterburners for that one. And, you know, the finishing wasn't quite there, but it shows his quality. He's got that pace and he knows how to dribble a ball. And his finishing's there. It just wasn't at the moment. I want to see him come on this, make an appearance every game, unless he's injured. I want to see him make an appearance every game. Trying something new with the five in the midfield. I wouldn't hate to see, you know, I think moving forward, that central midfield would be really fun. Bijev, Roro, and Skundrich. I think that would be fun. And you turn it into, like you mentioned earlier, a 3-2-3-2, and Skundrich can get up and down. I think that would be the way to go.
That would be very exciting to me. And then you do have guys like Willer Aminu who feel like they could just, you know, they could be a defensive midfielder. Like, they don't necessarily need to get up that much. And maybe that helps with, you know, a lot of weaknesses we saw in the defense as the game went on. Just before we get to the leveling goal here, there was one more sub at this point in the game, around the 75th minute. Again, I apologize for not having the exact times of these subs down, but Belmar came in for Iwasa, and I know you had something to say about Belmar.
Yeah, I mean, he given Iwasa's history, he doesn't look like a starter over Iwasa due to his history. But he looked good enough in this performance where I think he could start challenging for it if this is going to keep up with Cameron, or if we need, you know, for some reason to take out Formella. I think Formella, just with his two goals, kind of earned his spot for the next one at least. But, and I don't want to think, like, you know, Cameron isn't necessarily going to not become a starter anymore, but just, you know, we're taking form into account here. I think Belmar looked really good. I liked a lot of the runs he was making. He looked strong on the ball. So, yeah, I'd like to see him maybe come in. I would have liked to see him come in sooner actually.
Yeah, definitely understandable. You know, it's tough at the point in which he was subbed into the game. There wasn't, I mean, obviously you can make a decisive goal, but we didn't get a big sample size of Belmar. So I don't want to, you know, overrate his performance necessarily. I also don't want to underrate it because there just wasn't, you know, that much of a chance for him to disappoint either, but I would have been totally fine with Belmar on earlier for Iwasa. I was more excited for Belmar's minutes than I was Iwasa's. I guess, but that for me personally, that's more of a disappointment of Iwasa than necessarily praise for Belmar. Anyway, going ahead here to the 81st minute, this was the leveling goal. It came for Ray Serrano Lopez for Dacoma Defiance. This one was tough. I thought that Grinwis really should have stopped this ball. I mean, it hit him right in the hands. It just squeaked through him. What did you think of Grinwis here?
So there's like two like main rules of basic goalkeeping when you're going to be like a Sunday league goalkeeper. Don't let a goal go in on your near post. And if you touch it, save it. And he broke those rules. So
both of them.
Yeah, I there was someone, I wish I knew who tweeted it, but someone tweeted a picture of them polishing, it was like a cartoon polishing a picture of Cohen, like missing him. Not a good performance. I think he could have saved that one. It was a rocket. It was a tough ball. And I think it's really hard to, you know, judge goalkeepers because they live it by just little specks of moments. It's a very momentary game for them. And he messed it up. He wasn't there when we needed him, unfortunately.
He was not. Disappointed in his performance, especially here. It is one of those things where you get a lucky bounce, or you know, you make the right instinctual move there, and this turns into 3 points for the Republic, and I'm not really worried about it at all. I'm not really looking as harshly on Grinwis, and maybe he avoids any criticism altogether, but it's just a tough look, and there's not much to say about the Republic at this point of the game, but yeah, I mean, it all fell apart in the second half.
So it's tough with the goalkeeper because it's not like he was challenged a lot. And when he was, he didn't look good. And it was like that, you know, we're not linking these super harshly, but it was like that in the first game as well. If you're not challenged very much as a keeper, then you should be expected to save those when you are. If you only have 3, 4, 5 shots on target, then you need to save 3, 4, or 5 of them.
Yeah, and ultimately it was a game of two halves, as the Republic only put 2 shots on target in the second half compared to Tacoma's 5, and obviously a goal differential there of 2-0 in favor of Tacoma. A couple late subs here as well. Sam Werner came on for Formella, and Dekel Keenan came on for McCrary, both very late. Any thoughts there?
I would have liked to see Sam Werner come on sooner as well. Maybe was questioning it due to, you know, Formella performing well, but he seemed to get quieter throughout the game. I would have liked to see Sam Werner come on sooner just because of the pace alone, just being able to maybe break into some spaces and stuff like that. He plays well with Bijev, so it would have been nice to see him sooner. And Dekel Keenan, I mean, the subs are there, so I guess use them, but it's a defensive sub. Like, we should have won this game. Let's make attacking subs is how I feel. It's not always like that. Maybe the thought was, you know, the momentum's going against us. We could concede another one. So I get that. And then we'd be really pissed. So I, you know, the sub was there. It is what it is, but I would have liked to see Sam Warner come on sooner.
Yeah. You know, we should mention that five sub rule, different from the normal USL play and standard play. We've seen this in the Premier League as well. And most leagues have adapted to this. I'm not particularly sure why. I guess there's concerns about fitness or what have you. So they're trying to give him a little bit of extra chance. Briggs, to his credit, is using the subs he's got, trying to do something with them. I don't really understand why you need a couple extra subs. Personally, it's fine though. Just keep an eye out for that as you're watching these games, that there's going to be two extra opportunities for fresh players.
Yeah, just kind of a random question. If we were only allowed three, not worried about timing or whatever, but what would your subs have been if you were only allowed three?
So I definitely liked the Bjev sub pretty much when it happened. I thought that he injected quite a bit of quality play into the team. I think I could have wanted Warner on a little bit earlier as well. It's tough. Villarreal I thought played pretty well too, but it was like more chances than it was more quantity and quality from what I saw from him. I'm definitely not worried about this defensive sub. Like, that's easily out for me. And then I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is just being too chalky, but I would take the three earlier ones. They were fine to me.
So the only one I would change is I would have done Sam for Famela and Bjev coming in, as well as Belmar coming in. I would have kept Roro, and I would have left the defense alone if I was only allowed three.
Yeah, maybe you could ask Roro to sit back and play more of a holding position if he is struggling with fitness or fatigue as the game goes on. I think there's probably a little concern of, you know, he hasn't played a full 90 minutes yet this season, but in an ideal world where you can get, you know, quality performance, you know, whistle to whistle for Lopez, I think that would be nice. So wrapping it up here, some last minute total stats, three goals apiece. Sac Republic had doubled up Tacoma in shots, 20-10, slight advantage in shots on target, 8-6, possessed the ball 52% of the time. Yeah. Final thoughts.
It's screwing it up at the end. Just those second half losses are tough.
They really are. So like we did in the way back 4 months ago in the opening game of the season, we gave our top three men of the match. We're going to repeat that. I think this is something we're going to do for every single game throughout the season, give our three top players. I think that we're also, you know, going to try to be a little bit fun and inventive and maybe throw out some hot takes as well. So I think today I know that in our third spot we threw some wild cards, but we're also probably going to throw some wild cards into our second and first spots as time goes on. But, yeah, why don't you start us off, Blake, and tell me about the player that earned your third place finish for man of the match on the Sac Republic side.
So we're going third place, so third best on the Republic?
Yeah, 3-2-1. We're counting it down. So we're going to give our third place and then, you know, work up to our personal favorite performance of this game.
Okay. I got Apollon. How do you say that? I always mess his name up every once in a while. But, yeah, that's who I got. I thought he looked amazing on the wing. Defensive. Did what he needed to do, and on attack he impressed me a lot. Just run, nice balls in, nice touches, not mad at him at all, and he has an amazing story. He's always going to be someone I'm rooting for.
Yeah, it's funny. You said it was going to be a hot take, and I was like, okay, then I'll do my hot take also. We agreed to do our hot takes at number three. I have Ash Apollon here as well. Yeah. I don't think it's a hot take, man. I think that he just played really well. He obviously, you know, you said it right at the top. Your wingers in a 3-5-2 are freaking crucial, and he played crucially. He played great in the back. Well, I don't want to say great, but he played really well in the back for a left midfielder. He played really well up top for a left midfielder. He got up and down both ends. I was impressed with him for sure. And again, like a guy that no one saw coming.
That position is hard. I play the same position, but on the right as a right wing back in a three man back system to know when you need to be in the back and to know when you need to go up top it's a really hard thing to do. You have to really know the game because you have to think, you know, 2-3 steps ahead on when's the transition going to come, because when the transition comes, you need to already be back there. And when the transition comes to attack, you need to already be up there. So it's a hard role. And yeah, he did amazing. I will say my other pick for top three, the one I was really mixed up with, do you want me to get into it?
Yeah. Well, I have an honorable mention here too. I wonder if it's going to be the same. Yeah, go ahead.
Is it McCurry?
No, it's not, but I he was in consideration.
Oh yeah. That was my other one just cause he had such like, That touch was, beautiful.
Chef's kiss. yeah, I like it. All right, so we both have the same number three. Do you want to drop your number two on us?
Yeah, I put I'm thinking about changing them now. I put Roro as number two. I didn't change them. I put Roro as number two. And I really – I wanted to switch them. I wanted to switch them just because I feel like Roro kind of had a overall really good performance. 2 assists, if we're counting the PK that was given, along with the, you know, the corner kick. Great distribution. He really could be my number one pick just because of his overall performance and not just having good little moments. But what do you think about Roro?
Yeah, man, I was trying to show you my notepad here because I have Roro second as well.
Okay.
We are simpatico, my friend. If he had played, you know, all 90 minutes or even deeper into the – if he was more effective in the second half, I would have moved him up to number one. I don't think I could quite give him number one just because he didn't affect the entire game. Really needed someone to step up in the second half. Unfortunately, it wasn't him. Understandable as it was, but yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, 7 or 8 of the best touches in the best 10 touches in the game from Sacre Bleu side, really just lofted some nice balls in, pushed some through, was really excited. This was the first time I feel like I got to see the Roro I was hoping for this season, and that's a great feeling. So we're on to number one here, and now I'm worried we're not going to have the same number one. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I imagine we will.
Maybe the fact that there's a guy with 2 goals makes this easy.
Yeah, I put Fermella just because, you know, 2 goals. PK was struck really well. Great positioning and, you know, just finishing for the second one. Again, not all over the place, not super noticeable other than the goals, but he did good. One honorable mention as far as chances go that we didn't get into was that open goal shot that went wide right. Good positioning there. And I will say that all is due to pressure. I don't know exactly – I can't quite remember exactly what happened to make the keeper want to come out. But that bad pass, all the poor decisions that led up to that, that's all because there's guys in your face. And he had a very short amount of time to think about, you know, how he was going to strike that ball. I almost thought he was going to opt to send it into the mid. goalkeeper would have definitely been there by then, but that's some, you know, that's another option. Chose to put his laces through it and went a little wide. It was always going to be a tough shot, though.
Yeah, that was in the 52nd minute. I skipped over that in the recap, but yeah, I mean, I think that the thing that even more so than the brace, I think what made Formella shine so much in this game was how poorly Iwasa played next to him. Maybe I'm being a little brutal here, but like there was an obvious guy that I wanted to touch the ball in the box, and it was not Cameron Iwasa.
No, I think that's a good point. I'm kind of in the realm of, you know, if you score a goal, score a couple goals, you're in your spot for the next game for sure. One thing, I don't know if you want to get into this, but I have it written down for something I wanted to do, is are there any changes that you'd make to this team, formation, tactics, obviously personnel?
It's a very good question. It's a very good question. I'm a big fan of Bijev, so I think if there was someone I could work in, it would probably have to be him. I wouldn't mind seeing Mario Penegos get a look in here as another very young guy. Maybe that's not going to accomplish, you know, maybe that's more of a development thing than a winning games right this second thing, but I thought he looked decent in the first game of the season. I don't know. If you had to pull someone out of this lineup, who would it be?
If you're trying to give a little bit of competitiveness, and we know these are athletes, man, competitiveness will wake them up. So Cameron, you know, sit on the bench. You're still a sub. You can come in as a sub. I'd like to try Belmar as a true striker. But I don't hate the idea of using Bijev in that position as well. It would definitely create some dynamism. it would be dynamic. Having him drop down, become a playmaker, creator. Yeah, I think that'd be fun. But I would say, you know, these things probably aren't going to happen. We're probably going to see Cameron get the start again. But I would not be surprised if Grinwis got sat for this next game.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I'm just going – trying to figure out what it's difficult when I'm, like, looking at a team sheet and trying to figure out how I would get Iwasa out for Bijev, and it's like maybe there isn't actually a way to do that realistically. Maybe you'd have to add a fourth back or just put another striker in place of Iwasa. I don't know. But, yeah, that's all. You know, truthfully, I'm happy to trust Briggs' decisions and formations, but I guess I'm just a big fan of Bijev.
Yeah, me too. Briggs, I love the way we're playing right now. Two draws, it is what it is. It's basically the beginning of the season. I want to see more of this. I want to see this formation more. I want to see us pressing more. I mean, it's crazy to see a team like Sacramento freaking gigging pressing. Like, that's top stuff, and we did it well. I loved it.
What about this? Just an idea here. You know, you mentioned playing three wide at the front. Is there a way that we could get Formella as the single striker and get a couple wings up next to him? Maybe Bijev could play in that attacking wing situation. Is there anyone you would think could go on the other side there?
What formation are you talking about, though?
So I guess this would be what, a 3-4-3?
Yeah. Just to answer the question, someone on the other side, I mean, you always have Warner as an option. That's just the easy answer. I wouldn't do a 3-4-3 because that central midfield three is key. We clogged it up so well. I'd rather keep that central midfield three there. Rather there has to be personnel changes or not, it works really well. Like I said, I would like to see Bijev be the number 10 in the central midfield three if we were going to do that. But, yeah, having like two holders, a number 8, number 6 kind of ideal, or even just a number 6 with more two attack-minded midfielders. But I think a midfield three is really important.
That's interesting. And do you think – so Skundrich has to be in it every night. Do you think Wheeler Aminu has to be in it every night? And then Roro, depending on fitness and availability? Where you want Bijev in there?
Wheeler's the one I would probably change if I had to.
Okay, that's interesting. And I think he could play like a holding – I don't know. I could see him just sitting really far back. But anyway, we've gotten off into the weeds a little bit, just talking a little bit of getting into fantasy, what we would do if we were in charge. But, of course, we're not in charge. We are just here to watch and enjoy and analyze the game. Coming up here, 5 days from today, we've got a game against at home against Reno. So make sure to mark your calendars for Sunday night, 6 p.m. What are your thoughts on this one?
I'm nervous going into it. It's always been a scrappy game. It is a derby. They're a good team. I have, us and them picked to make it out of the group. I'm nervous. I want to see what the lineup's going to be like. But not knowing how they play and just seeing how well we played our game, I'm confident that we'll figure something out and be able to get something done.
All right, folks. Well, we will be back to break that one down this time next week. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Peace.